Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Okay, did anybody else, when Nikki and Chris are talking to David, and they're like, you know, we're not going to provide for you. We're going to stop giving you handouts. But, you know, if we have to, you know, we don't mind taking in Annie. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
All I thought is, we got Annie. Annie, dun, dun, dun. And then I pictured Annie in a red dress. And David as like Pepper or one of the other orphans.
No, he's dead.
And
is Chris Daddy Warbucks?
And Chris would be Daddy Warbucks, and Nikki would be Grace. But they're probably more like Rooster and Lily St. Regis. Though.
This started.
We got Annie. Really,
this started really gay, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Leaping lizards.
Leaping lizards.
Spoiler alert. You know what?
The dog, Sandy's dead.
Actually, David would be Sandy. That's.
It would.
This is classless. This reality is classless.
We are remote, but goat. We're just at each other's houses because we were supposed to do this morning.
And I slept too late.
Poodle slept. Someone who said this whole time, I think I'm doing better with this jet lag. I think you have it worse.
And I was wrong.
we're both feeling it. Actually, I can't. No, I don't think any of us are doing. Either of us are doing well.
I'm okay. I keep saying I'm okay, and then I woke up at 7, and I'm like, oh, I just need to close my eyes for about 45 minutes. I usually do that if I wake up like 6:45 or 7. I'm like, I can sleep till 8. And then I woke up and it was 11 o'clock in the morning.
You look great though. You look very well rested and bright eyed.
I feel good.
That's
rare because I don't usually sleep that much. Just in general. I wish I could sleep more, but I just don't.
It's not great thinking about the last time you traveled to Europe. You sure bounced back quicker. Maybe because we were in our 20s when we did that.
Well, China was rough. China, the jet lag from China was really rough. But I feel like I was more dedicated about how I did that last time.
This trip was so last minute, but we had the best time in London. So thank you again to our UK sissies. We appreciate y'all very, very much. I said that like my grandma. We appreciate you very, very much.
Very, very much.
Okay. This was a good episode. God, this season is so good.
Yeah. I thought this the three that we're covering for this one, there's not as much happened.
True.
But in the next one that we're doing with Luis and Molly and David and Evelyn and the not so fresh feeling, Evelyn, can you help me fold some laundry?
Help some laundry. Do I have to, Mom?
I'd rather listen to New Kids on the Block.
This episode, or this part one, which is, by the way, y'all, this is season 5, episode 9, part one. What's this episode called again? I will say, boy, you really see how shitty the family podhouse comes in hot for Andre.
Podcast.
Whatever their name is. But God, Chuck was so shitty. We're going to talk about this, y'all.
Well, it's all a control issue. And that's the worst part of it is, you know, it's worse that Andre is foreign, but if it was any other man, they'd also have problems.
Especially
when the sisters are complaining literally at they're trying to convince her at her dress fitting.
She's trying on the dress.
And good for Libby. She's like, you have any second thoughts? And Libby's like, nope, none. Nope.
Watching this back to see how she dealt with her family kind of makes me like her even more.
I don't know if I will ever like her, but I understand her more. I have thoughts when we get to their segment because...
Respect her more?
We often say that she's the best of that family, but that's also like saying Oscar Mayer bologna is the best bologna.
It's not.
What is the best?
Usually deli, what you get from the deli.
I'm not having this conversation about deli bologna.
No, because my dad would always get the thick cut from the mat. You got to get the bologna from the deli. That's fancy, but it's better.
Okay, so wait. I understand that people eat bologna as a kid. I didn't know. That's right. He did eat bologna as an adult.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, very much so. Love some black bear bologna, beef bologna.
Because it's better when it's beef.
What's the brand? He preferred black bear and boar's head. That's what he liked.
Boar's Head made bologna too?
Yeah, they make bologna.
I guess I thought of eating bologna sandwiches is just something I left in childhood.
I haven't had one for a long time, but I will say it's one of my favorite things to eat.
I agree. I guess I'm always thinking of healthier ways. And now we live in California and I'm like, that's meat with a seam. Why would I eat that? But then I go to like a German restaurant and I have like a sausage and it's like the same thing probably.
Probably. Anyway.
But at least they make it. This is all irrelevant. Hello, irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
I can still laugh about that when she calls that woman's friend irrelevant. Who are you, irrelevant?
We saw a trailer, or not a trailer, but there was a picture of the rumored new cast of Love After Lockup. It was on their
Life After Lockup.
Our Life After. It was in our Facebook group. It looked.
Yeah.
It's gonna be.
No, it's like it's Brittany Marcellino, of course,
Chance and Tater,
Lindsay and Deontay, which I'm not mad at. I don't want her to murder him, but. No.
But if anybody's going to get him to do an OnlyFans, it's her.
Agreed.
Anyway, it's good. But let's talk about this. All right. I don't think we have any announcements.
So I guess we're not going to go through the cast. I thought we were going to. Oh. You just stopped. So let's talk about this. Sure. We'll abandon everything. Our top 10 list. We're on number 7. All right, let's move on.
I couldn't remember the other ones.
It also just tells you that you're not really in the present of the conversation.
No, I just couldn't remember the other people, and I didn't. I can. You'd yell at me.
I can. I love you do things because you're afraid I'm going to yell at you. I'd prefer it that way. They're mostly from this season.
They were mostly from this season.
Now I can't remember.
See, and now we need to move on.
Oh, shit. Oh, Amber and Puppy. Amber and Puppy are back.
Yes.
There was also, fuck me. No one from Love During Lockup, I believe.
No, and there was no Harry and Indy, obviously. No. So they're...
But they say she's filming something.
Ugh.
I don't... Now I can't remember.
See, riveting. I knew.
Oh, Kevin and Tiffany.
Kevin and Tiffany.
And their third.
Their third is supposedly, we've seen
That's
on social media.
That's not true.
You don't think it's true?
Kayla is not their third. No.
Somebody sent me pictures of Tiffany and Kayla.
They were together, but she's not technically their third, I'm saying.
Tiffany and Kayla were kissing. They're teasing us.
It's a joke. It's not real.
All right.
Yeah.
How do you know it's not real?
Because come on. You can't. No, it's too thirsty.
All right. We'll see.
You will believe anything.
Oh, please. Maybe. All right. Let's, you know,
I'm sure there's
need?
Someone else, but I can't remember. Oh, Sean and Sarah.
We need, you know what? We need Nikki to be on the case because y'all, Nikki's going to figure shit out.
You know, I understand her. I completely understand everything that she's saying. And I kind of understand why she's pissed. But I feel like if you're going to be on a reality show and you don't want to come off as an asshole, maybe let people have some of the benefit of the doubt. Yes, David's an asshole. Or David is a fuck up, I should say.
Yeah. He's a fuck up.
But it's almost like what she comes off as, unfortunately, even though I completely understand her positions, she comes off as someone who is greedy and afraid to share what they have.
I didn't get that. I mean, I can understand that. I think where you're getting a lot of that too is that we'll talk about it more, but the way Nikki comes after David about his drinking
right.
is so kind of heartless.
And it's also the way when you think someone has a drinking problem, well, the thing is she's not his friend. But if you honestly think someone has a drinking problem and you want them to do better, saying you have a drinking problem and you need to change that is not the way to do it.
I'm not saying, yeah, agreed. And I'm not saying that you can't put a boundary, but she was all, anyway, it was just, it made her seem, I think encapsulated with everything, it does make them seem like, boy, you really don't want to help out these people. But they're, remember y'all, they're fine with having Annie because Chris wants to get a free massage.
We got Annie! But it's interesting, and I think either Nikki doesn't know this or she forgets this, that, and Chris,
y'all,
but Chris
way,
reminds her.
Don't pull over. I'm in my apartment. Don't pull over.
We had a London don't pull over.
We did.
But this is, it's interesting because I think Nikki keeps saying, it's the when she keeps saying, I don't want to support David and Annie for 10 years or support Annie. And remember, y'all, it's not that you are financially responsible for them, which is very different than supporting them. It mm-hmm. means that they will not go on government assistance. They are not eligible for that. So you are responsible for that. They're basically saying, you could actually say, I'm still not supporting them, but in the government's eye, you would be responsible. So the government is saying, we're not paying for them.
I think Nikki's more reacting that her husband didn't tell her any of this.
Right. And I totally understand that.
That's where I want to be. I wanted to be the fly on the wall when Nikki came
yes.
home from that dinner with Annie. Can you imagine what Chris heard?
That's the conversation what I'd rather hear. I think what I'm hearing from her, though, is it just feels like no one's going to take anything from us. And it's a yes. common American thing you hear. And it's a shame because she gets the angry black woman edit this episode. And I don't think she deserves that.
No,
and
I don't think so either.
That's kind of why.
And I think she's reacting to all this. I think she's been lied to a lot. So it's all kind of coming up. She finds out one thing and then it's another thing.
Because I understand why she's being this way. I'm just saying, you guys, and a lot of times she was saying, David hasn't apologized to me. He hasn't. That would be a big thing. But it's kind of like, I just wish it, when you're on a television show, this is anybody. I was just thinking, you're hyper aware of how you're going to be perceived. Maybe in this season they weren't. Maybe they didn't know how popular this show was. But I was thinking, you know, I think I'd be worried about being looking small and angry a lot.
I don't think she was worried about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting because she's a YouTuber makeup artist. So she actually is someone who puts herself out there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what actually happened. So they're having, so Annie and David are having dinner with Chris and Nikki, and they're just talking about what they did today. And David's like,
David said he still doesn't remember what happened. Remember? He says, he says that, and then later
he
on,
he says that, but later then he admits that he did. He like said it was just a joke,
right?
Which Nikki calls him out on. But she said, "You never said sorry to Chris or Antonio," and I'm kind of like, you know what it is when she says that. It seems like someone who's upset for everyone else,
mm-hmm.
and that's someone who 100%. gets in your business and isn't taking care of their own stuff. You're kind of just like Nikki, if Chris is upset at David and is upset that he hasn't apologized, then Chris can tell David, hey, dude, you need to apologize to me. It just feels like, and I think David's reaction seems like he's acting like he doesn't know where this is coming from. He doesn't know where it's coming from because Chris is giving him a totally different story.
Right.
But when Chris is on air, literally it's like, or it's not literally, it's not literal, but it's metaphorically, Nikki is holding his balls in the vice of her hand saying, don't you fucking talk over me or throw me under the bus on television.
Yeah. And
that's how it feels.
And it feels, I think that's what it feels like to me. And it feels like Nikki needs to say all this to Chris.
Yes.
And that there's so much, anxiety directed towards Chris, and she can't do that on camera, or she doesn't want to embarrass her husband on camera. But at the same time, I'm thinking David's such an easy target to, and it's not that I feel sorry for him because y'all, I still say this season, David's a fucking loser. That's the only thing I can describe him as. But he's such an easy target. And she says stuff like, actions are louder than words. I'm going to be on you. And he's like, yes, I will. And it's not that, maybe it's a soft spot I have for people who just are so down on their luck and they need a handout. And he's said over and over again, I'm going to go to Kentucky. I'm thank you so much for this. And she just won't let up.
I actually understand her position more. I think it's just more of the edit, but I actually think she has to be this way because I think she's married to a fucking man child. And I think Chris isn't taking responsibility for anything and just keeps paying for his buddy. And I think I don't feel sorry for David, honestly, at this point.
I felt sorry for him. Remember?
No, but I mean, you said you had a soft spot for someone down on luck. I don't have a soft spot for David anymore. Like at this point, he's lived in a different country for years. He's moving back. We find out in this episode, Chris is giving him even more money. Like Chris is financing, he's financing. The only reason David was able to quote, pay for the dowry for Annie was because of Chris. So it's just.
Let me just clarify what I said. I said, I have a soft spot for people who are down on their luck. And then I said, but blah, blah, blah. Okay. I wasn't conflating the two.
Okay. Anyway, they're having this talk, and she's basically saying actions speak louder than words. And then basically, Chris is just kind of sitting there like, and that's where she really gets in on the drinking problem. David says to the camera, on his testimonial, he says, they tell me I have a drinking problem, but Chris was drunk too. And he even says that.
You mean Antonio?
He said Chris and Antonio were drunk, actually. I think he said both of them were.
Okay.
But Nikki's not talking. I mean, again, we know Antonio acted completely ridiculous. But if you didn't remember last episode, I didn't hear it, but Poodle heard it. And then they said it again. David made the joke that Chris and Antonio should just fuck.
Yes. He did not say that. He said, you want to fuck Chris.
We don't see the problem with that on this show.
No, but I'm saying that's what he said that made Antonio crazy. And that's what Nikki was very upset about. And I that makes sense to me that she'd be upset about that. I think where it gets to me is Nikki is conflating caring about a drinking problem with him being there, with him being at their house. And I think that's false sympathy.
I actually think you're giving her a nicer. I think she is, honestly, she's weaponizing his drinking problem as just a thing to get him out of the fucking house. Y'all, Nikki hates David.
Yeah. But, I can understand it.
And honestly, I think she's valid. I know several friends that, like, I can think of two girlfriends that are married to the husbands that have, each of them have a friend. It's like their friend from fucking college who's still a loser hanger on that they're always fucking helping out. And they're just like, dude, when are you going to, like, let this person go on their own? And so it is, it's just ridiculous. So much so that Nikki and then, so nothing really was resolved. I mean, David says, I'm sorry. David does says, when I drink, I usually drink because I want to get drunk. That's a problematic statement.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I marked that too.
That's not really a great thing to say. So again, it's not, again, it's just her edit, but she, they said, that's where they say that we'll take care of Annie. Like if something happened, like, and so in fact, her and Nikki later, Nikki and Annie then go on this girls' night out. And I was kind of shook at how much Nikki doesn't know about what's going on.
At the same time, I was too. Then I thought it was a little disingenuous that Nikki's like, I don't want to ruin her experience of Kentucky. I won't, don't want my negativity to rub off. And she did.
And she did. She totally was like, yeah, it's not, because she's like, I hate Kentucky. I'm not going to tell her that. And then she was like,
I honestly think this was a don't let the right hand know what the left is doing kind of thing with Annie, where she wants to say she's friendly with Annie, but she hates David. And what she really wants is find a way. If Nikki could have what she wanted, she would have David be nowhere with anyone and out of her house. And I think she probably likes Annie and sees a little bit in that. She basically wants Annie to go back to Thailand. Which is not fair.
No, probably because, well, but also it's dumb in her thinking because honestly, if you want to play this game right, Nikki, you want to make sure that David and Annie end up together because if David goes and does his thing, Annie is going to be with him and Annie's going to make him do shit and then Annie's going to have to handle him once they're married.
Right. But I think Nikki's hatred of David really won't let her say anything nice about him.
No.
And it's kind of weird because you're exactly right. If she had a plan together instead of kind of putting poisoning Annie more against David and telling and really saying, "Yeah, I don't maybe you'll like Kentucky. I don't know, but you'll have a good time."
Yeah, it's because No, sorry. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
I was just going to say, because what's going to happen if David ends up single? He's going to go back to Chris.
That's what I'm saying. I think the anger is misplaced.
I agree with the conflating comment.
Yes. And I think she hates David, but I think a lot of it is bound up in what all the things that her husband does that pisses her off.
Let's go over, what did she find out at this dinner that I didn't know about? So she found out
the co-sponsor that she co-sponsored, which she knew about, she said.
And then, well, Nikki said, I knew he did because I had to sign it, but that's not my fault that you didn't know. I love how Nikki was kind of like, yeah, take that up with your husbands, not me.
Annie,
yes. And then Annie found out that. Okay, so I was confused. She found out that David took the money from Chris to pay for the gold, but he said it was from his father? Okay. So basically now David and Chris are lying to both of them. If this were an early 90s movie, this is where these women would plot to get even and take everything.
It is. This is when Bette Midler would tell Goldie Hawn that we're getting everything.
Yes, it would be.
And then they would find lost twins.
They would. They would find lost twins. And then Roseanne Barr would show up and say something racist immediately, and the movie would get canceled.
Yes. But I think this is interesting because when she just does find out that she's financially responsible, and again, she also conflates being financially responsible with, I'm now going to support Annie. She is their orphan.
Yes.
And I don't know. We've had people say that. We've had people do this before, but there's something about it coming from the fact that Chris is so, you know, we said this before. David hid at least 3 hookers' bodies that Chris had murdered.
Because now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it.
It's just now, after this dinner, Nikki blew up. They come back, and we find out all along the plan was for David to move to Kentucky. We thought just to see his family. No, it's to see his family, but to live in Chris's property with his car and work for Chris in Kentucky. And I have to say, once I found that out, because they're at this dinner, Chris, Nikki, and David, there's no Annie, and Nikki's just like laying it out there. I agree with Nikki. I'm like, why the fuck are you vacationing all in Hollywood?
Makes sense. And
making all of this big deal, woohoo, a big party in LA, because they don't even live in Hollywood. I looked up the restaurant they're eating. They live in Camarillo. That's an hour away from all of this.
She lays it out there, but I think this could have been done unemotionally.
That's true.
And that's part of where I think this all comes from, Chris. She is so angry at him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
all of this, and I think that's what gives her a bad edit, is because obviously they have a breakdown of communication in that marriage. And I'm sure there are other things.
Chris is cheating on her, for sure.
Almost certainly. That's what I was gonna say too.
Yeah.
And what's weird is that's why she's always irritable. And when she's on camera, she's not happy to be there almost always.
No.
And I think this is a person who she doesn't trust her husband, and there's a lot of anger towards because she knows he's been lying to him, but it affects him. She can't be really mad at Annie, but she can definitely use David as that.
For sure.
And I think that's what we see. That's why I call it misplaced anger. Has David ever done anything personally to her besides be that shitty to her brother? I don't know. Probably not.
No, not at all. Yeah. Can we talk about what their apartment looks like in Kentucky?
You mean the one above? By the way, y'all, they flew to Louisville in like half of an episode.
Yeah, they got that done. Out. They said, get the fuck out.
I need to say this. Isn't this completely sketch? That David has a place to live and a car. And like, seriously, what does David have on Chris?
It's not even a car. It's a camouflaged Hummer.
Yeah.
You know who? Oh, I just thought, you know what I just realized? Sissy Mary's going to get to the bottom of this.
Yes.
This is going to be good.
There are so many. And the other thing he even said, David's like, this has been the whole mystery, the whole season for me. When David said, you know, I had it all. I had cars. I had houses. Did you really get taken to the cleaners that much?
I don't think he did. I don't think he did. That because I know a lot of people that have been fucked over in divorces, but and I think this is what Nikki is angry at too, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. I think David is very always, everything happens to me. I'm not responsible. Because that's the way he acts with this divorce. I wasn't responsible for anything. But we've seen how David is with money. I think David did get, a lot of it got taken. But I think he squandered the rest of it and went through a fucking midlife crisis.
I agree. So, question though.
Yes.
What, I was thinking about this. If Chris has enough money to let David live in his properties and let his drive, if he has properties everywhere, is it really that big of a deal to be supporting Annie? That's where I think about if they have money, which it looks like they do for this house.
Yeah.
How much are you missing?
No, I agree. I don't think it's that big a deal. I think that it's a big deal to Nikki because Nikki already hated David even before any of this. We saw the way they acted when they visited them in the Philippines.
Right.
Nikki hated him then. So Chris couldn't tell her this because he knew that he knew he couldn't get around that, I think.
Right. But I'm saying that it's not the money, it's the principle. And yes, it's something between Chris and Nikki that has almost nothing to do with David.
That is interesting about this episode, that the root of the drama you do is Chris and Nikki. And so you feel, I don't feel sorry for David. I do feel sorry for Annie. And you do,
me too,
I guess, feel empathy or sympathy that David and Annie are the casualty of Chris and Nikki's communication and probably toxic relationship.
I wonder if they're still together.
I can't, Sissy Mary, find it all out. I cannot wait.
If Nikki had a good head on her shoulders, she'd take those kids and take him for everything he had.
Yes. I need a deep dive into this, Mary. I can't wait.
Because if you're a YouTuber, if you're a YouTube makeup person, you already have your own entrepreneurial ideas.
She does maybe pretty makeup too. Now, okay, so they're loving, we didn't know when we did
Let's talk about their house. You're right.
They're living above a firehouse.
No. It's a storage facility, I thought.
It's a storage facility, but it used to be a... David says, it used to be a firehouse.
No, he says it looks like. Yeah, you're incorrect. Oh,
I thought, I guess, with the circular thing. But it's a storage facility. I mean, the stairs suck. I don't think the room is that bad.
It looks so cold. It's an office with a kitchen attached. You could tell Annie was like, blah, blah, blah. She's like, don't fall. Don't fall on the stairs. I don't know where the hospital is.
That was the best line when she said that. I don't know where hospital.
And it's interesting because Annie did not want to leave LA, obviously. This feels, we're over the halfway point in their storyline. Mm-hmm. So think of all the things we already have to do. Because it seems like this couple has to make, this is episode 9. I think it's to episode 13. So in four episodes, we have to meet the family and get married. Because I think the tell-all is episode 14. I think. So we have to do all of that in this amount of time. And I just wonder, everything feels surfacey. Like, I don't think they've talked about any of their quote-unquote bigger problems.
No, the whole thing, like you said, the whole thing feels sketch. Like, not only is Chris lying, but is David lying to her?
Right.
Because there's just too many... My computer's not working. I can't find out how many. There's just too many weird unknowns.
Wait, your computer's not working? We're recording a podcast?
Well, no, it's not looking up the episode. I'm trying to see how many episodes, but whatever. Fuck it.
I think it's 14. I think I remember seeing. If my phone was around me, I would. Who cares?
Who cares?
All I've got. Want to talk about Liv and Andre?
Sure, let's talk about Liv. It's... Oh, no. 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 It is 12 episodes and one tell-all. It's only 13.
So it's 13 episodes, yeah.
It's a short one.
We've got 3 more episodes to meet David's family and get married.
Wow.
Because it's almost like they're starting over
now
that they're in Kentucky.
What a
weird
season.
Their arc has been so weird for them. Because we already know it's going to be 3 episodes and Libby and Andre are going to get married.
Well, we get married now. Okay, let's talk about them. So Andre, okay.
You have to get the ball closer to the hole.
Hole.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was turned on.
You can put it close to my hole.
Wow. Wow.
he's meeting Chuck. He's meeting Chuck at the golf course.
The thing is, y'all, when you play golf with Poodle's hole, there's always a hole in one.
It's a sure thing.
It's a sure thing.
Everybody's a winner.
You're always going to get a birdie, at least.
But that's sometimes an eagle.
Yeah, because that's how when he gets fucked, he goes, ah! Or,
and then I lay an egg.
We're stupid. Okay, so we talked about this before we started. We usually try to not talk a lot about a lot of stuff, but I even said, just right off the bat, what a piece of shit Chuck is that he will not pay for their wedding.
It's par for the course for him. Literally! it was you saw the ramp up to it as well.
Yeah.
Chuck starts in. So he makes his almost legal argument because he's invited Andre there to tell him he's not going to pay for the wedding.
Yep.
And y'all, the reason for this is, let me tell you, that's not the reason Chuck is going to give, but the honest reason is he doesn't like Andre. Yes. So that's why.
And he's not part of their tribe. Yeah. He's not an American.
And you know the worst thing about it? He's hurt. He's not going to pay because he's hurt. He'll never say that.
He's because sad dad.
He is hurt because Andre did not. He's like, I don't know how it is in your country, but in this country, everyone's favorite 90 day thing. The man wants to talk to the father if he can ask for the hand of the lady. And all I can think of is, and I was like, he has a point there. And the next sentence Andre says is, he didn't even answer any of my Skype calls. He didn't try
he denied all of them. They brought that up earlier in their season, where he said
they haven't wanted to talk to any of them.
They haven't wanted to talk to any of them.
So is that, as you once said, it's a mute point. Instead of a moot point.
It's a mute point.
It's a mute point because you said it's mute, so you didn't hear it. Which is a good argument for it to be a mute point. It's like, what else did you say? And I was like, that's a good argument too, that you confused a word. I don't know.
I don't remember.
What was it? Onus. When you said, yeah, the onus, and you pronounce it onus. And when you said you own something, it's the ownness of it all.
I think I'm going to use that word.
That makes better sense than the O-N-U-S spelling.
English is weird, y'all.
It comes from a lot of different roots. That's why.
We can't get into linguistics. we don't. You wanted
actually,
a short show.
It comes from
you
the German.
A short show.
I've abandoned that concept of a short show for us.
So he's like, so he asked me, and Andre doesn't bring that up that I try to Skype. He just says, yes. He says, the circumstances were not good and I agree. And kind of just wants, I also love how they're playing golf and Andre is like, I think I'll be good at golf. Like he just.
the confidence of a straight man.
Confidence of a straight man.
But he does. He is hot. And
with
a big
beautiful
dick.
Face and a thick dick.
Oof. The thing about him, and the thing is, though, people like Andre they talk a big game, but they usually get what they want.
Yeah.
It's the sad thing in this world. Yes. So he does say, he's like, her sisters and the guys they married is that, they all her sisters marry guys with money. And Andre, in his own fashion, says, well, how old are they? Like 40? He's like, well, some of them are. And Andre's like, well, I have 10 years, so I'm fine.
He's like, I'm just getting started. See, I'll be fine. Look, I hit ball.
See, I hit the ball. I can do anything.
I can do anything.
What a country.
I'm Superman. Your country is stupid.
And I wrote down the last thing. He basically says, so because of the fact that you did not ask for my daughter's hand, I don't feel financially right. I don't feel morally right paying anything for the wedding. And it's an interesting linking to make for Chuck because Andre's like, okay, I get it. I get it. I don't have to like it, but I understand why you feel that way.
But now we understand. So I want to call I would say it was fraudacity. I would say if it was fraudacity because we don't hear Libby talking to her dad about this at all. Because I feel like in real life she would have called him up and said, "Dad, what the fuck?"
That is true.
I was like, why aren't we seeing that? But now doesn't it make sense why they made him pay for that fucking wedding in Moldova?
100%.
Oh, yeah. It's even just sweeter knowing that we had to see them suffer through all of that because he didn't want to fucking pay for a wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he had to eat peasant food.
And that's it, is that Libby and Andre understand the long game because y'all cut to, they go away from golf and he comes home and tells Libby this. And then Libby just says, and Andre both say, well, we're going to get married now. So then you can work sooner. That'll shut them the fuck up.
And I'm going to go to Afghanistan and climb mountains because the only thing I can do to hurt you.
I wonder if Libby is part Mar because this is a Mar thing to do.
So, y'all, they're getting, and then Libby does tell us, well, actually, my dream wedding is to be on top of a mountain, and it is, like, snowing as we're getting married, and I drive up in a horse-drawn carriage. But we're not going to get any of that. So we're going to get married really quickly near a swamp.
Near a swamp.
But I will say, this is a, I wasn't sold on the venue on the watch-along. It is pretty in the way that they laid it out. I will say, I can smell the humidity. I can feel how hot it is.
But I will say this, and you say this all the time, Poodle. I bet their pictures from this wedding look amazing.
That's all that matters. Remember, y'all, I say this constantly. Brides, you will not remember a single thing. You'll maybe remember four things in what happens in your wedding. But if you've got good pictures, you will remember the best parts of it. And also only invite people you want to see. Because the people you don't want to see there or people you have to invite will not leave a good taste in your mouth.
Which this is kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but because it's a little bit blip at the end, but we're going to talk about the wedding dress shopping. But Andre even says later on, though, hey, if your parents, they're not going to accept this because Libby starts telling him that Jen is saying that she wants to take him to the bachelorette party and take her phone away and make him angry and put a wedge between them. And Andre's like, I don't want them to come.
And here's the thing. She did not have to tell him any of this. This could have been done so much differently.
Yeah.
And this is about creating enmity between her husband and her family because this is the game that she likes to play.
You really you see that now that we know them now, Libby has played the long game.
Yeah.
Of getting Andre and getting basically the father to realize that all the family is shit and they only care about him because of his money. And now Chuck thinks that Libby and Andre are the only ones that really actually give a shit about him.
That is true. Well, they did have to play that game, but Libby has only ever cared about her father. And yes, she wants her sisters there, but not really.
She hates them. Speaking of.
They hate her.
They do. Let's talk about this wedding dress shopping.
Pamela, and that's the mom who hates gay people. And
Becky.
Jen and Megan.
Megan, who likes to show her raisin. as we said earlier, your raisin at your butthole.
I think Becky also showed her raisin, but I definitely know. I think Megan did a thing where she sucked Charlie's dick on OnlyFans.
I'm sure by now they have like full penetration in their OF.
Probably. But y'all, they show up there and they're like, has anyone talked to Libby about not wearing Andre? Is this a good time? Yeah, it's a great time when you're picking out the fucking wedding dress, you harpies. Just be happy for her at this point. That's the worst thing. How much of a rainy cloud do you have to be that when you're even, you know, think about this. If you can, if Usman's family can look pleased while he marries fucking baby girl Lisa.
Define.
They tried.
You did say it looked like they had all eaten bad shrimp.
Yeah, but hell, at least they weren't actively trying to stop it.
No, by the way, I saw a clip, and it's not wrong. Some sissies were talking about this. Speaking of Uthman and his potential, y'all, the potential and her son are now on Pillow Talk.
Yeah, people are saying they're fun. They're,
They're very good. They're very, they're like really good pillow talkers, well, I have to say.
And it's because you know she was a fan. Yeah. And I'm also she understands.
I'm a fan. I want the though.
We're going to do it in my bedroom.
In my bedroom.
With my son Jamal.
I would, and Jamal is wearing shorts, and I'm just saying, oh God, he knows what he's doing.
He may be up there as one of the hottest family members.
Maybe. Can we invite Kimberly to our San Diego show if she brings Jamal?
I don't know. I still have a bad taste in my mouth after the season with them.
I don't think she would come after the shit we... Oh, who am I kidding? She would come.
She would totally come. No, I know that.
I don't know if I could look with her in her face of all the stuff we've said.
If you did her your impression to her face, that's almost worth her coming. I just don't want to put... I don't know if I want to associate our brand with her.
No, can we just have Jamal come?
Yeah, but that would just be us throwing ourselves at him. And that would just be kind of gross, too.
Kind of already did that with Kyle and Noon.
Yeah. So we see her dress. Y'all, the first dress is it, because of course it is. And it looks great. I love dresses with patterns.
Sorry to interrupt, but I just want to say, this is actually the first time in 90 Day, that I can remember, in 90 Day Fiancé history for us, where we didn't get three dresses.
That's true.
Because I think she got two. Two, but we've never, ever had first dress off the bat.
I'm sure there probably were others, but I think this was the only one we saw.
It, what did you think of it? You were just getting described.
No, I loved the pattern.
I loved the cut. Made her breasts look good.
Yeah, it made her boobs were out. And you know Andre's going to like that.
Yeah,
boobs. I just liked the fall of it too.
Yeah.
The cut was really good. And the fact that it'll be altered, but that's an off-the-rack dress.
No, she looked great.
And it fit her really well because a lot of stuff for her, it's not that she has big hips, but she's little. And she has a small torso. Yeah, short torso.
Short torso, so the clothes look like they are wearing her and swallowing her. And this actually elongated her a lot.
Because it was long.
Yeah.
Like the train of it was long. And it's a good dress for her. She's going to look gorgeous.
She is. She's going to look gorgeous.
Hopefully she won't put on some awful lip color. And she'll go for something.
It's going to be real red.
But not just red. Some red that looked like it was filled with blood. Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy a red for certain types of wedding. Don't get me started. I won't let Poodle talk about linguistics. I'm not going to talk about wedding makeup. But hers is going to be a garish red, not a pretty red.
I know. It'll probably have orange in it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to have a lot of bronzer. It's not going to be good.
Basically, y'all, just know that the sisters and the mom don't want Andre. They're like, who's going to tell her? But then at the end, they decide, she's like, I will not choose between Andre and my family. Like, that's the drama she's trying to create.
Yeah,
honestly, if she had not told him any of this, if she had just said, I'm so excited about blah, 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 and not given him a reason to hate her sisters more than he already does. I think that's the thing. I said this from our first version where Libby was just talking about her family. If the idea of how she introduced her family to Andre without saying, I don't think they're like you, they're hard to convince. I think all of this could have been handled differently. I don't think we'd be where we were. If this had been handled differently.
I agree. I agree.
But I don't think that is, I think you get into you use the patterns you're used to. I think this has always happened to Libby with people she's introduced to her family. So it feels normal for her to create adversaries outside of her family.
Yep.
But, oh, Preach. Well,
ding, ding,
but they
ding.
Wouldn't have had a show.
Yeah. They wouldn't have had, boy. The worst thing they could have for television was they could have some better help. They would personally use it, but it'd make for a bad show.
I don't think family therapy would help these people.
I would watch that episode of In Treatment with all of them with fucking popcorn.
Is it time for Nicole and Asin? Talk to me. I just need to say the last two episodes that we've seen, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
No,
I don't get her saying, you don't want to talk about anything. He's like, I don't want to talk because nothing ever happens. And she's like, why don't you want to talk to me? He's like, I don't want to talk because every time I talk to you, I get mad about cheating. And y'all, cheating. Lather, rinse, repeat that every 10 minutes of their segment.
That's it. You really just said their whole segment. That's what they're talking. They finally sit down. They're talking about this again.
Bring me camels. Bring me more sheep's heads.
We actually, at the London meetup, a sissy brought her poster. That was this beautiful thing someone bought for her on Etsy, which is a beautiful poster of Nickel and Azen climbing up that hill. And at the bottom, it says, you so lazy.
No, yeah, or almost there lazy.
Almost there lazy. It was,
and we signed it for her.
We signed it. So, Adson's like, yeah, we're fighting. I mean, really, y'all, I don't think we need to go through there. It's just literally Poodle just said it all. And so, but they have their, they kind of make up, but don't make up. They just kind of decide to like, we need to be better.
It is the ultimate lazy communicators idea of, he doesn't really want to talk. She says, but we need to talk. And he goes, let's talk about this later. And she's like, okay, I think a lot was accomplished today.
And nothing was accomplished. So y'all, she finally, she's like, I've been a little busy. So I finally called my mom. You know, she called her mom.
It's and been like three Robbie, weeks.
Yes, Robbie Lee was in the middle of Ross and Wynn. Oh God, she's alive.
Ross. Yeah, I'll be there. Like, I'll be there.
Jeanette, take this dress. I'll be back. I just got to go outside and take this call. She's alive, everyone. She's alive. Not Nicole, but May.
No, exactly. And Robbie Lee basically says, they're like, how's May been? And she's like, well, she's been a little while because she's missing home. And she's like, Azen doesn't really know what to do with her nights. And she's like, yeah, I would imagine. Robbie Lee is just sitting there going, I told you all this would happen. Yeah. Robbie Lee is strangely the most satisfying part of
Nicole's story.
Nicole and Azen's story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's finally someone who calls her on all her shit.
And it's fascinating to see a mother who hates her daughter.
Yeah, that a little bit of that, too. You know,
she does not, it's not unconditional love for Robbie Lee towards Nicole, y'all.
So the last little thing, they're talking about his not getting over the cheating. And she's like, yeah, he's just not sure if it's going to happen when I go back to the U.S. She's like, but I think as soon as he gets here, it's going to be fine. And Robbie Lee says, nope, great honey, line. It's going to get worse. And she's 110% correct.
She says, if he can't forgive long distance, it's not going to be better when you're together.
Nerp de derp.
And then Nicole ends it with, well, I guess we'll just have to see.
Oh, idiot. That's why this storyline makes me just want to like punch a clown.
Yeah.
Just like it, especially the last two episodes that we've just been treated to fights that we don't really know why they happened. And like them refusing to talk, her body checking him every chance she gets. And then him saying things like, I don't know, I just want her to be more respectful of my culture. Then say exactly what you want.
Yeah, then say what you want.
Yeah, you know what? Do the thing where you get a fucking translator if you're not sure about what's going to happen.
I don't think Azen really likes to admit any type of, I do not empathize with, I don't, with Nicole and that. I don't think Azen, he wants to be, quote, a strong man. And I think a lot of this has to do with him being gay. He doesn't want to show any weakness. But
yeah, y'all, by the way, if you haven't been listening, we think Azen's very, very gay.
Very gay. And it's like, I almost feel like he's kind of in that, it's like his version, it would be like the version of Hans Christian Andersen's Little Mermaid, except for instead of being in love with the prince, he's like, I want to walk on land and I want to see all those things, but I gotta fuck that sea crab over there. And what do I do? And he's kind of talking to his mom or his aunt.
I gotta fuck Scuttle.
Yeah.
before I can walk on land and get to America, yeah. I can fuck all those men in the bathhouse. I got to fuck Scuttle first.
Yeah. Because he is like, I can get to the land of America in South Beach where I can be myself, but I got to fuck Scuttle and hear about that fucking fork.
Oh, God.
Y'all, because Scuttle's going to fuck, he's going to ass fuck you with that fork.
He's never going to shut the fuck up about it.
You're never going to find that pipe again.
That was it.
I just thought it was very sad when he talked to his aunt.
And there was one little thing where he was talking to the aunt, and it made me sad too, because I realized his goals for this relationship, his heart's not in it.
No.
He's just doing what he thinks he should. And yeah.
Even when they make up, he like,
it sucks that I, and he thinks it's a cultural issue. He really,
no,
he's so,
it's that he doesn't love her or care about her.
Right. That's it, y'all. Say it again. He doesn't love her or care about her or want anything to do with her sexually.
No. Or I don't even think emotionally.
No.
I don't even think he enjoys being around her.
He doesn't really like looking at her, to be honest.
I'm sure there's an article somewhere that says in that new Starbucks union, they're trying to kick Nickel out so the people at Starbucks don't even want to be around her, probably. They're like, Nickel, hey, we have a union meeting today. It's tomorrow, Nickel. Don't worry about it. Promise.
I mean, I don't blame him. I don't want to be around her.
No.
So,
no one.
Her family doesn't. The kids, the brother and sister don't.
He joined the military just to get away from her. Norman Rockwell, brother.
That's the show, y'all. That is the show. Wow.
We hope that you're watching The Little Mermaid with your child tonight.
And thinking about Prince Eric having a fuck Scuttle.
You're going, boy, they ruined that too. That's what we do, y'all. Y'all, okay, that's the show. Go to our Linktree link. That's where y'all come see us this summer. Columbus, Denver, Phoenix, Minneapolis, Detroit.
Lots of other cities.
Lots of cities. San Diego, San Francisco. It's going to be a great time. Dallas, Houston.
All the Diegos.
Not Houston. Dallas, Austin. But all the Diegos, yes. All the Diegos.
Ooh, I've been with a Diego once. It was nice. Oh.
God, me too. Ooh, he's the one that picked me up and carried me from the couch to the bedroom.
Oh, my.
I know.
That's a requirement. They all have to do that for me.
Wow.
It's hard because I'm just like squiggling around like a little worm covered in lube. I'm like, catch me if you can.
Although, but you are covered in lube, so you're just squiggling around like a worm.
Yes, that's okay. What I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what, okay.
Ooh, y'all, can't catch me.
Note, we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places, boots?
Yes, and if you have ever gone to a golf course and wondering, how do I do this? Like,
amen.
Everyone knows, you kind of know, you get the idea, but I like Chuck's like, so you played golf before, right? And they're like, yeah. He's like, I know you have to put the ball near the hole. Everyone gets that.
Yeah, everyone gets it.
Anyway, if you ask, how do I do this? You need to call us.
Call us.